Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are back in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones with us today. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. Great to be here.
Glad to have you. And also with us on this call today is Lisa Rose, the founder and president of First Friday, which, Lisa, we'd love for you just to tell us about a 30-second blurb of what First Friday is and what you guys are all doing over there in Dallas. Tell us a little bit about First Friday.
Well, I'd love to. Thank you. First Friday, in one sentence, provides resources for women to positively navigate life's challenges. And so we deal with life skills, the things that truly I have been dysfunctional in, and many of us are, like for last month talking to teen, how to talk to your teen about sex, to everything from finding how to handle finances to how to recognize and deal with depression, to teens and the internet. So we do this through one meeting a month at First Friday and then also in small groups on Thursday nights where we really, we go small so we can go deeper and really connect with each other. And we have a fabulous teacher on those evenings. And we're working through 10 smart choices that every one of us can make to improve our life. And then third, we have a financial piece of the First Friday group because sometimes women need resources and they're financial and they can't move forward until they're out of the pit. So we begin granting small one-time financial gifts that help women who are already helping themselves but who need a little boost to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're about. And we're expanding. We're looking for land to build some transitional housing for women. And so we've been in existence 4 years, but we feel like this First Friday is really an arm of something else that'll go forward. So we're really excited about what's upcoming and trying to take one step at a time as God opens doors daily.
Well, and Lisa is such a great example of an Omega leader, spiritpreneur from the inside out, who has taken this concept of First Friday, which is the first Friday of every month. These women gather down in Southlake, Texas, inside an AMC theater to meet over lunch and talk about these everyday issues of life that sometimes keep us from our mission or keep us from moving forward. But what a great opportunity to, if you're in the Dallas area, check out First Friday. They would love to connect with you and become part of that ministry and the passion that they have for resourcing women. And I think, you know, this chapter, as we jump into our two topics today, he knew he couldn't quit. Lisa, wow, there's no way that you could quit. This mission is so important to the work that you are doing with the women that you are doing. So we're delighted that you're on the call this afternoon with us to talk about these concepts around leadership. And so, Lori Beth, we know that you have been in a work mode all day, but we hope that you can jump in here and talk to us a little bit about this first section on he knew he could not quit. Talk to us a little bit about that principle and what you were thinking as you began to write this content.
Well, this is in line with the term spiritpreneur, which is anyone who can answer yes to these three questions. I am doing work that honors God. I am doing work that honors me, my gifts and talents, and I am making a living full-time doing all of the above. So, the concept of a spiritpreneur is a very powerful and aligning one for me, and I know Lisa Rose, you're doing this, living this, and Shelley is too. And this is what we really want to communicate to people, that you can live like this now more than ever before. We have the resources, we have the technology. And so Lisa and First Friday, they're helping women align some skill sets so that they can live as spiritpreneurs. Now, with this particular chapter, I remember when I worked for other bosses, being a wind fire, I got fired several times, and I was a horrible employee. You know, I just really was not a good employee. So I couldn't wait to start my own business. I mean, I knew I could do it better than they were, and then it occurred to me about 2 years into owning my own company that I couldn't get fired because I was the boss and I was the employee. It was really kind of a downer when I realized that I couldn't quit because there was nobody to take my place.
Wow.
in my own organization. And, you know, I think one of the aligning questions that I encourage our listeners to ask themselves is, what is the work that only I can do? So I want to open this up to Lisa. I hear her chuckling, so she's having some recognition
I'm
moments
laughing.
Here. So.
So,
Lisa, what is tickling your funny bone about this?
Oh, I don't know. This, you can't fire yourself. It'd be so great.
I know.
I tried.
And what happened?
He wouldn't let me. God wouldn't let me. It was just a couple of months ago when planning for fall wasn't happening, and of course God comes in at just the right time. But it wasn't happening, and then I had someone send a long, long email just saying, you know, the world doesn't need another speaker, doesn't need another First Friday. And so I spent a short time, probably just a few days in discouragement, and just said, Lord, surely you didn't have us do all this for, just to quit. And then the doors started opening. And so once I gave it to him again and said, I'm happy, I don't need this to be happy. But here it is, Lord. You know, I'm happy without doing this, but he is so clear that I'm supposed to and that we're supposed to move forward that I can't not do it.
Isn't that something that is
and
so...
I can't quit because I heard him. And I know it, and then it begins to open doors to prove that I heard him. So when I go back and say, did I hear you, or is this just my own imagination? He'll say, no, and then someone else, a door will open.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, the next day after this conversation with him, and I was so down, and said, Lord, you're just going to have to do it and show me, confirm that I can't quit. And then the radio station called and said, would you be ministry at the month? And we're going to do free spots for you and Starling Stringer.
Oh, wow.
And then another woman who was a speaker, a doctor, called and said, can I share something with you? I just felt when I was there that this is just the top portion of a root that's going to take root in our community and grow. And it was
one confirmation
after another that God laid out to say, no, you can't quit. And then he gave us the speakers for fall. And then things just started happening. And it was such a confirmation that, no, we're not quitting until he says quit.
Mm.
But we're not to quit yet.
Wow.
So when you
Isn't
hear
that
quit,
powerful?
You
yeah.
can't quit. I mean, I could, but I'd be miserable. And I don't want to live like that.
The Jonah syndrome. We saw what happened when Jonah tried to quit.
Uh-oh. I'm studying Jonah right now in a Bible study. But I love the scripture you used, John 5:36, to initiate that chapter. For the very work the Father has given me to finish testifies that he sent me.
Mm.
I love that passage. I mean, you just summed it up right there. As you
That's
do,
right.
Lori Beth.
Well, I'm sitting in a boardroom at one of my clients, and they have a beautiful picture of the ocean and kind of a beach, a shoreline scene, and the sun is going down or maybe coming up. And, you know, you think about the waves and how there's a low tide and there's a high tide. And I think what happens is when it's low tide, we think the ocean's going away, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that spirit of God, it just keeps surging forward. And it's so typical when you said about that discouraging letter, Isn't that typical too? That there's going to be voices that try to keep us from doing, whether it's an inner voice or it's an outward criticism by someone. That there are forces of evil in the world, and maybe Satan really doesn't want First Friday. Well, then all the more reason to do it, right?
That's right. But what I've learned is people try to impose another their ministry or other ministries on yours.
Right.
They weren't with you when you heard the Lord. They
right.
have a speaker once a month at Harkins. And so they're not trying to be negative. They're just into something else and want everything to be like that. And that can't be.
Yeah, that's so true. So, Shelley, I know you have insights about this. What are you thinking?
Well, I think I made a mistake. I said AMC. It's really Harkins, huh?
It's Harkins. Well, it's Harkins.
All right. Sorry about that. All right. Okay, so we'll correct that. Well, you know, what's interesting about this particular section that we're in of Jesus Entrepreneur is the lurch, L-U-R-C-H. And in the lurch, Lori, I'm sure the battles are won or the battles are lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this is where it breaks down. This is really where it breaks down for people.
Right. So talk to us about that a little bit, because as leaders, folks that are out there leading teams, congregations, schools, businesses, companies, organizations, startups fail at a phenomenal rate, right? We know that.
Right.
But then there's other kinds of failures that causes a leader to, you know, maybe make it past the launch phase, into the lurch, do very well, but then get into this next phase that we'll talk about in a few weeks, which is the lessons, learning from the lessons and growing from that space. And so if we can't make it through, if we quit, you know, obviously Jesus knew he couldn't quit, but how does a leader stay on through the lurch, this particular place, this principle that we're talking about today, and not quit when, wow, that email that Lisa got set her back a couple of days thinking, wow, is this really what I'm supposed to do? You know, how does a leader move through that kind of space?
Well, I think that one thing is to expect it, not in a negative way, but rather to be prepared for adversity, to realize that everything cannot stay in the launch phase. And wind fires, you know, when you speak elementally, the fires and the winds, whew, we love to launch things. I mean, that's our core right there, fireworks, launch, and excitement. Wow, power.
That's more fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun to launch things. And then all of a sudden you enter the lurch where the energy is gone. The people got hungry and went home. Or like in Moses, I mean, I just used the example of Moses. He becomes the leader. He has the power of God. He marches in finally to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "No." And I just wish I could have seen Moses' face at that moment, because I'm not sure he expected that, and it certainly didn't feel good to hear it, and to realize there's going to be resistance. And then to go back, and then his own people turn on and said, "Who made you our leader?" So it's not just Pharaoh saying no. Then he gets hit from both sides. And Jesus, the same thing happened to him. He got hit from both sides. The resistance of the scribes and the Pharisees, and then his own family turning against him, and then his own people turning against him.
Mm.
You know, the people that sang Hosanna were also standing there whipping him, or being a participant in his crucifixion. So, or colluding or conspiring or being a part of it or not stopping it. So if we can understand that we're called to do something, the launch is a great feeling and it's a great moment. And the lurch is also part of the journey. But if we quit there, that's where relationships end, divorces, you know, marriages start with a launch and then end up in a lurch. New businesses start with a launch and then they end up in a lurch. And so part of our calling, and I think Lisa's, yours too, is to help people through that lurch phase with new skill sets, with new perspective, with new encouragement. And then we move into the lessons. And like you said, we're going to talk about that in the shows coming up the next few weeks. But The lurch phase is where you're sitting there and it's you and you're thinking, maybe I didn't hear God right. That's when you really are in the lurch.
Exactly.
Right, right. You know, one of the questions that you ask in this chapter, Lori, is which would you rather see, a shark behind you on a moonlit night or a row of sweaty backs in front of you doing the same thing over and over and over? Well, I thought that was a powerful question. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to stay on this because, you know, I know what it's like back over there. You know, and if I quit now, you know, I'm going to have to start something else or start over. But I thought that image of, you know, that you talked about in the book with Linda and Lee was just a great picture for a leader. You know, you turn around,
well,
you see the shark teeth, right? For maybe 5 or 10 or 15 seconds or whatever. But it's better to see that than to stand over here with all the sweaty backs, you know, doing the work over and over and over. So
our listeners, let me say, one of my closest friends, Linda, she and her husband was a CPA, and she was working for him and his company, and they just decided one day they couldn't take it anymore. So they sold everything and bought a ship, you know, a sailing ship, and they went sailing. And the story she tells is that she was doing watch, and it was a stormy night, and there were like 20-foot waves or something, and the moon was out, and she was on watch, literally tied to the mast, you know. And this wave came up, and there was a shark. She said it was probably 12 feet long, in the crest of the wave looking at her. And, of course, the boat, thank God, rose above the wave and the shark went under. But, you know, what a memory. And they just couldn't take it anymore, just numbers, numbers, books, books, books. And so that's the adventure side of life. And if life isn't an adventure, then what's the point of it? Ask the wind fire.
And the neat thing
for
was
us, right?
That shark only saw the shark for a few seconds.
Exactly.
It was a glimpse, just a glimpse, just a blip in the whole scope of things. And
right.
So our story will see sharks, but it'll just be a blip.
That's
goal,
right. Exactly. That's very well said, Lisa. Very well said.
Right. Like an email, you know, that you read for a few minutes and boom.
I just want to share one story. I'm remembering when I first wrote Jesus CEO and put my baby out there, and we were getting letters, and I had this really, really cool intern that was just young, and she always dressed really crazy, and so she was reading the mail. At that time, it was hard copy mail, and so she had a stack, and there were a stack of, you know, the praise letters. And then there was this little tiny stack beside her, and I said, what are those? And she said, oh, those are the people criticizing you. And I said, well, let's just hear one. Come on, let me hear one. So she picked it up, she read it silently, and she said, nope, that'll never happen. She crumpled it up and threw it over her shoulder. She didn't even say it, but she just said, and I don't know what, you know, the letter was asking, maybe who knows what it was, but she just looked, nope, that'll never happen, just throwing it over her shoulder. So so I think, Lisa, you know, your point of the shark is this, you know, we have to have that perspective. It's like, not make it bigger than it is. Okay, thank you, Shelley. Now you can do your transition.
Yeah, that's a great story. Great image there as well. You know, just wadding it up, throwing it away, you know, when the negativity comes. And I think that's what the lurch is about. I mean, you've got to find ways to successfully move through that space as a leader. Very quickly. Somebody's moving around over there. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Okay.
I'm totally still.
Okay.
It was the wind. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the wind's moving.
Oh,
all right.
Are you on the beach?
No, I'm in a boardroom.
I'm going to be
so very closely related to this previous chapter, you know, that he knew he couldn't quit. He knew it was okay to limp to the finish line. Wow, that is just an amazing subject line, Lori, to to jump us into this chapter. Tell us your thoughts around this principle.
Well, one of the things that keeps us from living a life of adventure or taking risks is that we feel like we have to do it perfectly. And this desire for perfectionism, which is rampant in our society, really holds people back. And so it occurred to me as I looked at Jesus on the cross, and, you know, my mother and I were talking about that, and she said, you know, if he were selling stock in his company, nobody would have bought that day. Right? <Yeah. laughs> You know, it was not a good day for triumph, for victory, for anything beautiful. And yet it was just critical to what was about to happen. And so if we as leaders can realize that we're not going to get everything perfect, and maybe our brochure has a typo in it, or maybe who knows what else, but we're still moving towards that finish line, that's what God wants to see, to run the race faithfully and not quit in the lurch, and not sit in front of the mirror and wait until we look good, until we can do this all perfectly. And I think, you know, one of the things that has kept me moving forward is handling the knowledge that some of what I do is going to be imperfect. So what? You know what?
Exactly.
At least I'm doing something. Right, Lisa? I mean, talk to us about that.
He didn't ask us to be perfect. But I do strive to be excellent. But that's not perfect. He didn't call me to be perfect. I can't be. But I would like to do things excellently to represent him. Mm. And I love your quote on the top of 81. And if everyone hasn't read this chapter, it's just fantastic. And when you quote, you say, we can't always look good while we're getting there. We cannot postpone media attention until all of our carefully hired and trained characters are in place. And that just really spoke to me, because I do try to avoid attention. I'd like to avoid attention. We have sort of a gap mentality. We see where we could be and where we're going, but we tend to focus on the gap. And so we'll just focus on what the duty is today, do it excellently, and take tomorrow without trying to be perfect. It takes a lot of pressure off.
So define the difference for us between excellence and imperfection.
I think excellence is doing the very best you can do. So for instance, an event, we want it to be excellent. But if someone misses a line, if we start 2 minutes late, which we haven't, but if there is a typo in the flyer, you know us, we are on time. There's a flyer, if I trip over words, that's not perfect, but really, people aren't drawn to perfection anyway. But we want to strive to be excellent at what we do.
That's beautiful, beautifully said. Mm. So, Shelley, what does it mean to you to be able to limp across the finish line?
Well, you know, as I read this week, and again today in preparation for the show, the thing that came to me, it was Paul's words about running the race, and you alluded to that just a few minutes ago. But I thought about his image as a runner, you know, crossing that finish line, you know, breaking the ribbon, right? We've entered in, we've won, or, you know, succeeded. And then this image of limping to the finish line. And so today I think I tweeted something about, you know, whether I'm limping or whether I'm running to the finish line, I think the goal is to cross it. You know, really, goal is to cross it. If we're comparing ourselves as leaders to the next leader down the street or across the street or, you know, up the street or around the world, wherever, then, you know, we're going to look at those things about perfection and excellence or imperfections, or we're going to see, you know, all the nodes and nodules sticking out, right? because our eyes are not on the finish line. They're on something else. And so as I read this then and thought through it, Lori Beth, getting some kind of major feedback here. I'm not sure why. Big distraction. Does anyone else hear that?
I hear
no.
it.
I hear it. I don't know what it is. But, you know, as I think about this from a leadership perspective, you know, I think it's just packed with, we could talk about this for a long time because it's a measurement of, you know, how we make soldiers and how they stand and, you know, how we educate children to become teachers and how we, grab lawyers and make them into prosecutors or defenders. You know, there's these measurements all the time on how we achieve and how we get to that end result. But looking at this content that you wrote about, it's just amazing to think that the goal is to cross the line. You know, that's to cross the line. Mm-hmm. So how we get there, you know, how we get there is, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's even relevant. We're worrying about all the things that get us there rather than getting to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or how we look.
Look getting there.
I'm here in a coaching and consulting capacity with this company that's growing rapidly. And there's two young leaders that have just been promoted. And the stress level, one of them was an intern that's now a supervisor. And, you know, she started out kind of as a lark here, and now she's a supervisor. And she recently just had to say no to her mentor, who wanted a project that was outside the scope of the department. And she had to take the heat for that, you know. And another assistant manager that's now being asked to go back to school and get his MBA. And you know, he has a wife at home with two kids. And the stress level. And they're actually asking themselves, is it worth it?
Mm.
You know, crossing the Rubicon. You cross the Rubicon, that's when Caesar crossed the river and knew he would never go back. He couldn't go back after he crossed that river. And there's a point as a leader where we've crossed into, we can't be the young intern anymore, joking in the, you know, meetings and stuff like that. Now we're going to have to be able to say no to our mentor and take the heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't any longer just be the blue-collar worker mentality that leaves their work when the 5 o'clock hits.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a cost. Leadership has a cost. And I think that if we do not prepare people for that and we just make it look like it's all a joy ride, then we're disserving them. We're not serving them.
Mm. We've got about 1 minute, ladies. A little bit. Lisa, your thoughts on this,
yes,
on this principle of limping to the finish line?
I like question 5, are you letting your limp keep you from crossing the finish line?
Mm.
And that's, I think, in summary, the big question for everyone. Are you focusing on your failure, or are you, and not even a failure, maybe something you just don't do what you think is the perfect way, and are you really letting that keep you from the big picture? And one day will God say, I had all this power, I had all these things available to you, but you didn't believe. And I don't want that to happen. I just don't want that to happen.
Well, amen. We will link arms with you, our dear sister, and we will cross the finish line together.
Hmm.
I know, wow. Shelly may have to drag me. Sometimes I'm sure she feels like she's dragging me across the finish line.
That we're made to do it together. No one's made to do it alone. You know?
Exactly. The Lone Ranger was a myth. So shall we close
this? Lori Beth, we've got about 30 seconds. Any last thoughts?
I think just repeating the section that he knew he couldn't quit, That when you're a leader, you're going to move into the launch phase and the lurch phase, and that it's okay to limp across the finish line. You don't have to look good all the time as long as you're moving forward. I remember my mother telling me, honey, if you're going to fall, fall forward. Yeah. That's a good lesson for all leaders.
Wow, I love that.
Thank you, Lori Beth. Thank you, Lisa Rose, for being on the show today. We look forward to having you back again. And listeners, we will be back next, actually next week. Lori Beth will be traveling, so we won't have the show, but we will be back the following week. So have a great Holy Week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you all. Blessings to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.